The scripture for this service is Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Amen. Senior pastor will deliver the message.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, GCN and Manmin TV viewing audiences, tomorrow is the Chuseok holidays, the Korean Thanksgiving Day. This year, there has been an exceptional amount of rainfall. Many farmers who run orchards worry about the harvest. Fortunately, the fruits have ripened, and we have the Chuseok holidays. It's because our God has given us the sunshine. God the Father is full of mercy and compassion. He also loves humanity so much. You believers here also love this God, and you try to repay Him for His love. But do you clearly know what God wants the most from you? In this message, let me talk to you about how to be truly faithful and dutifully showing respect to God the Father. To let you know in advance, it is to cultivate justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Easily put, it is to cultivate a truthful heart. Isn't it easy for us that He just wants a truthful heart more than anything else? You can learn the secret today and give joy to God. I hope you will spend prosperous Chuseok holidays in the blessings that God has given as a response to your deeds. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, many of you may be going back to your hometowns. And before I explain about the reading passage, let me tell you a story about a family. There was a mother who had become 60 years old. The children gathered after not having gathered as a family for a while. This 60th birthday party was special. The mother lost her husband at a young age, but had wonderfully raised all her children despite having gone through many hardships. And her children threw this special 60th birthday party for her. Each child gave her a gift, which was what they considered the most precious. One gave her a lot of cash, another big gold necklace and ring, a ticket for a travel abroad, and some health food too. But the mother just quietly looked at all these gifts. Then she picked up a piece of chicken from the chicken stew on the table. This was the food cooked by the last son and his wife, whose financial conditions were the worst. All the children were surprised. That gift looked the least wonderful because the mother usually didn't enjoy eating chicken. But the truth of the matter was a little different. She loved chicken very much. Previously, in order to let her children eat more chicken, she had told them a white lie, saying that she'd get a rash if she ate chicken. The son prepared the chicken stew, thinking, "Mother, I know your heart. Please enjoy eating as much as you want of the dish you like." The mother accepted this son's heart more gladly than any other gift.
I
After I accepted the Lord, I understood that my parents had the same heart in case of my father. He didn't like meat very much, but when there was fish on the table, we would have fish on somebody's birthday or on some holidays. So he wouldn't eat any of the body part. He would eat only the head. See, I've never seen him eat any meat from the body. Of course, the children would serve him the fish, the flesh, the meat. But the head, it doesn't really have any meat, flesh on it, and it's not so tasty. But he said he liked only the head. And he would say, oh, I don't like the flesh. But nobody knew his heart, but only after I accepted the Lord and came to understand the Lord's heart, did I begin to understand his heart. It was to feed the children. Otherwise, if he said he liked it, you know, they would serve him. The body, so he never showed that he liked the meat. And also, after I came to understand the Lord's heart, because I don't spend on myself, I save. If I begin to spend for myself, there will be more and more things to spend for myself. So I save all those expenses to help the needy and for the missionary offerings. So if you have the heart of the Lord, once I came to have this kind of heart, I would understand my father's heart too. He used to enjoy put the rice in cold water and when he was eating. Why would he like a cold water? Everybody would want the warm water, even in winter. So the children, they were saying, you have a strange character. Why would you, strange a taste? Why would you like a cold water? But now I understand. This was also his white lie. When they had cold rice, they would have to warm the water and mix it with rice to eat. But if you want to heat warm the water, they had to make the fire and go all the processes. So he would just say he liked cold water. It was not to prevent them from working too much for him. And he didn't want the mother to make a fire and heat the water and go through all that process. So he just said, I like cold water with rice. And I also thought, still, in winter, it's the rice is not soft, and if you mix it with cold water, it's still hard, and it's not good. But after I came to have resemblance of the Lord's heart, I came to understand his my father's heart too. It was to cause no pain, no work for the family members, and to save money. And in that sense, I can understand how much my mother sacrificed herself for their children. And in thinking of those things, I shed a lot of tears. Even the love of the biological father and mother, the parents, are so great and they sacrifice themselves. Mother, she would save even the last penny that she had to spend for her children. She would walk like 30 kilometers with a heavy luggage. To go to the marketplace. There were buses running, but to save the bus fare, she had to walk 30 kilometers. And she saved and when these parents get old, how much would the children understand their heart and respect them and show respect to them and serve them? I thought I was serving them well, but I realized that it wasn't really true respect and service. Of course, you might serve them well, but compared to the love of the parents, it can't even begin to match. And I hope those who are going back to their hometowns, they serve their parents, show the proper respect so they won't have any regrets later. I always teach this kind of duty, the respect. If you have any salary, you have to send some of the pocket money to your parents. I've been teaching this for such a long time. Especially to the workers who are working for me. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's just a story from the world, but we can get a very important spiritual lesson from it. Rather than just the outward action of making our offering, our Father God also wants our heart contained in them. Namely, God rejoices over our willingness to understand His heart and serve Him. In Mark 12:30, we can see such a heart of God. Jesus said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." Jesus said that this command is the greatest among all commandments. Two days ago, I had a session with some of the people, and that's what I always teach. Then you have to love God first, above all else. And I teach them what to do to love God first. And by doing that, you can you forsake everything, you enlarge your heart, you can accept many people and love them. But some people seem to keep all the commandments, but do not keep this greatest command of all. The rich young man portrayed in Mark chapter 10 is such a case. This young man came to Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered that he had to keep all the commandments. Then the young man said, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth." We can see how strictly he kept the law. for he was able to boldly say so before Jesus. Jesus also felt love for him and said, "Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." He answered boldly, and can you also answer like he did? Can you? So did the young man say amen and follow Jesus? Mark 10:22 says, "But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." The young man thought he loved God because he kept all the commandments. But when Jesus ordered complete devotion to him, he was saddened and went away grieving. It is very different from Peter and other disciples who immediately obeyed Jesus' word to follow him. When God called those men of God, they just obeyed immediately. When God told Abraham to leave his father's house, household and his hometown, God didn't even tell him the destination, but he just obeyed right away. Peter and Apostle Paul, when the Lord called them, they obeyed immediately. They left everything. And they left all their father, mother, all their family members, even the net, the boats, their means of making a living, they just followed Jesus. Same with Elisha. So men of God, they just obey immediately. The disciples forsook their boats and nets, which were their means of making a living. They even left their families to follow Jesus. So what was the problem with this young man? He lived a godly life on the outside, but in his heart, he loved himself more than he loved God. He eventually missed the glory of becoming a disciple of Jesus. How is it with you? Those who always attend the worship services, prayer meetings, and other meetings, and meditate on the Word of God, might think that they are living by the Word of God. If they know the Word of God very well and are in positions to teach the members, they are more likely to think this way. But some of these people do not have the love for the Lord deep in their hearts. Do you love the Lord with deep in your heart? Do you? Do you love the Lord? Then let me ask you a question. If you truly love God from the depth of your heart, God says, pray continually. It is a sin to cease to pray. So do you continually pray? Of course, on these holidays, you can't pray, right? Maybe for 2-3 days? You have 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, 48 hours. Do you pray on your own? Oh, there's nobody watching. There's no Daniel prayer. There's no prayer check for the pastors and Levites. If you skip prayers, thinking like that, it is disobedience to the Word of God. It is to show to other people. It is to show to the church. Oh, because you are only because you are pastors or Levites, because you are being checked. And if you pray like because of that, it's not really truthful prayer. you, whether others see you or not, you have to do what you got to do with love for God. That is a true deed. And I'm searching for these people. I'm trying so hard to find these people who truly they love God. And if I find one, I think I will give my heart and I will give everything. But it's not easy. But there are a few among the church members, thankfully. And God is also looking for those who really love God from the depth of their heart, not giving any excuses. And He's searching for those who truly love God. And when God searches for such people, I think I was meeting the criteria of God. That's why God is showing so much power to the ministry all over the world. Listening to this message, I hope you will measure your heart, relying on the voice of the Holy Spirit, coming from the depths of your heart, and not just by your outward deeds. I hope you can discern whether you really keep the word of God with true love for God. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will keep the commands of God with your love for God from this moment on. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, at the time of Jesus, the religious leaders of the Jews kept the law very strictly. But they were rebuked and warned by Jesus. Even today, they strictly keep the law. They don't even drive on the Sabbath. They don't even run the elevators on the Sabbath. Even in hotels, you have to walk up the stairs. But I find so many hypocrisies. There are two elevators in the hotel. One, they don't run. The other, they run it. They say they don't run it because of the Sabbath, but they have another separate elevator that is running. Also, they can't take a photo. They can't make telephone calls. And they pray so hard. When I went to Israel for the first time, I firsthand witnessed. I witnessed such a hypocrisy myself. As Jesus said, at the Wailing Wall, there's a. Now they have to. Before they had to wear. This, there is a place that you go in, and these Orthodox Jews, they pray with all their strength. But the thing is, when I went there, at that time it was open, and we could go into the cave, the kind of a caveway, and they said it was leading to the temple, and there are a lot of secrets. They said we could see this cave, and after we came out, those who are praying, they were not praying. Those who were praying before, they were not praying anymore. And when they heard us coming, and they began to pray again. So as Jesus said, they were hypocritical. You know, they were doing it only to show to the people.
Yeah.
So let us not show any hypocrisy to the Lord. We have to love the Lord with all our heart. Through the testimony and case of Sister G.A. Kim of Hallelujah Praise Mission, I thought about the difference between flesh and spirit. While she was practicing some dancing, she injured her leg, her ligament. Tendon was broken. She must have had a lot of pain. And when they checked the MRI, the tendon was broken. And last week, the Manmin magazine crew, they shot her, and the Manmin magazine is going to play this week or the week after. She just checked that the tendon was broken in the hospital, and just she came back. There were many more days. And, the weekend, and also on Monday and Tuesday, we had the conference. And for 1 week, she even sang in the chorus. And after a week, she went back to the hospital to take the MRI again. And it is completely clean. She also bled a lot, and there was a swelling, but there was no more blood clot, and it was completely clean. And the doctor said, there must have been so much pain, and how could you endure for the whole week? And seeing that, there are so many people like, in this case, this morning there was a person who's who injured her. She is three parts in her tendon. Three tendons. She also has these pictures. One was broken into three pieces, but she was completely healed by the prayer. Seeing Sister Jie Kim, I thought she did everything she was supposed to do. She came to the conference, she sang, and how I came to know is my secretary, she sent a text message to me that Sister Jie is injured herself, her tendon is broken, so I prayed for her on the telephone. And with just one prayer, she was healed. So this is the power of the spirit. If you're going to spirit, you don't feel any pain, actually. And you'll be healed quickly. If you stay in the flesh, it'll take so much time. But if you're in the spirit, you don't feel any pain. If it's so great, you feel just a little bit. And when I broke my little finger, I had sharp pain for just about half an hour, and but then after that, there was no more pain until it was completely healed. So you feel all the pains, and it lasts as long as it should take. And if you don't have any faith, you have to get the operation and surgery. But if you are in spirit. Also, because it's not from any sin. She didn't injure herself, not from sin, but she was practicing hard. So there's nothing to repent of. And when she received the prayer, she was healed immediately. So in physical sense, you have to get the surgery to connect them and everything. But in that case, in her case, in another sister's case, even operation was not possible for her. So I felt this greatness of the part of the Spirit once again. And as she experienced such a thing in spirit, I thought that it was a preparation for to go into a whole spirit. To go into whole spirit, you have to pass through some tests like that, so you can go into a whole spirit by passing them. Today, in today's reading passage, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus sternly warned, saying, "O to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." The scribes and Pharisees kept not just the law, but also the traditions of the elders very strictly. They studied the law and taught the people too. They kept the law so strictly that in case of tithes, they counted even the leaves and stems of little vegetables. God commanded of them the tithes of only the main harvest, that being namely the grains, fruits, wines, and oil. The mint, dill, and cumin in the reading passage did not belong to any of those categories. Also, they boasted that they were keeping the commandments of God very well. When I was ministering in Israel for 3 years, I watched them keep all their festivities. They keep the, some of the formalities, but they don't keep the actual core. They don't keep. In some festivities, you have to give sacrifices of from the herd and from the flock of cows and sheep. But there's nobody who is giving any sacrifices. They just put the. They decorate the houses and they make the tent and they do those things, but they don't give sacrifices. So I thought, like, they don't do the things that would cost them a lot. So I wanted to ask one of the Orthodox Jews, so I couldn't, because I thought it was kind of offending. They don't do the things that would cost them a lot, and they keep just little things. They studied the law to keep it literally, but they forsook the justice, mercy, and faithfulness, which were the fundamental spirit of the law. Jesus openly pointed out their greed, dissipation, and lawlessness hidden in their hypocrisy and rebuked them for it. He compared them with a brood of vipers or whitewashed tombs. If I, to you, you are committing so many more sins than these people did. Compared to the sins that we commit today, you commit so many sins leading to death. And if I say to you, you brood of vipers, what did you do? How, oh, even Senior Pastor Ken speaks such a rough words. Oh, I'm disappointed. Oh, he's too much. Oh, he says only goodness, and how can he say something so evil, something so rough? Of course, it'll be different from person to person, but those who have faith must think that I have my intention in saying that. But our Lord said, "You brood of vipers, whitewashed tombs." He also rebuked them, saying, "They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." He called for repentance. Why would he say, brood of vipers? Because they wouldn't listen. These people wouldn't listen otherwise. But many of them eventually participated in killing Jesus. They did not repent, but stood against Jesus, thereby going the way of this destruction. They prayed to God and strictly kept the law, but they were not saved. They knew the law very well, but they did not understand the heart of God in giving them the law. Now, what are the justice, mercy, and faithfulness, which Jesus said were more important than the deeds of keeping the law? Here, justice is to follow the thing that is right. In this world, there are standards to discern between the right act and wrong act, such as morals or social standard. Some people always choose the side that is right according to these standards. They don't harm their neighbors, and they don't do anything shameful at all. Of course, children of God will choose the right way according to the law of God and the standards of justice. It's because sometimes the standards of the world are not in agreement with those of God. The Pharisees and scribes were very righteous on the outside, according to the standards of the law. In their deeds, they kept the commands of God very strictly. But inside, they always thought about how they could receive recognition and respect from the people. They were hypocritical because they only try to appear righteous before men. Namely, their hearts were filled with unrighteousness. About this, Jesus said the following in Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 to 7. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. For they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by men. The phylacteries refer to two small leather boxes worn by Jewish men containing parchment scrolls with scripture written on them. The Pharisees made larger phylacteries and carried them with them to show off their godliness. More simply put, they carried bigger Bibles than other people. Also, when they were fasting, they contorted their faces to let other people know. On the outside, they seemed to be meditating on the Word of God, praying and fasting. But in their hearts, they didn't have righteousness, which is the willingness to follow the right thing. How is it with you believers here? Your actions are to keep the law before God, aren't they? Even so, I urge you to check whether you are keeping the word of God to appear righteous in the sight of men without realizing it yourself. For example, in the church, you are always mild and gentle to the believers, but you get angry at home. You take the lead in doing voluntary works in the church, but you don't clean your house very well. You listen to the messages on goodness, love, fruits of the Holy Spirit, and even make summaries of them, but you do not practice them in your actual lives. You break peace and seek your own benefits. Breaking peace in the church is not acceptable at all. Once in the old sanctuary, there was a person who broke peace. A very good friend of Mrs. Lee. She was immediately captured by Satan. God doesn't forgive them because in the sanctuary, in the church, within the fences, if you break peace, it is to spit on God's face. So how can it be forgiven? There must be punishments.
징계들. 이런 거 모르시면 다음에 어떤 환란이 따르면
And when punishments or disasters come upon you, you don't even realize. That's why I'm mentioning, so that you might realize the reason why. If you get angry in the church, if you quarrel in the church, that is not acceptable. And if you quarrel against a pastor, If you are a pastor who is quarreling, if one side is meek and gentle and keeps quiet, there wouldn't be a quarrel. But because both parties, they collide with each other, if you collide with the pastor's wife, if that person is a pastor or a pastor's wife, it wouldn't even make sense. But you like being recognized by others saying she has great faith. This is not true justice. Those who practice righteousness before God will have the same deeds regardless of the situations or circumstances. Whether others see you or not, whether you are in a high position or not, or whether it is beneficial or harmful for you at the moment, you just follow what is right according to the word. It's because you are always conscious of God and not man. Rather than being conscious of God in your heart, you just want to follow with happiness and joy. You just follow the word of God. Brothers and sisters, we sometimes get a lesson from the three tests in 1998 and 99. At that time, the ones who left God were those who adorned only their outward appearances to be recognized by people. And how is it now as many church members stand on the rock of faith and have gone into spirit? As God's true children and spiritual workers, you keep the word of God to be recognized by God and not by men. You live by the word of God because you love living in goodness and resembling God. Between goodness and evil, if you choose goodness, you have to pay thousands of dollars, and if you choose evil, you can earn thousands of dollars. Those are really good, those men of God, men of spirit. They will always choose the good way, even though you have to pay, you have to take up the loss of thousands of dollars. But for men of flesh, it's not easy. Those good men of spirit, they love goodness, so they choose the good way. I hope you will cultivate justice in your heart and live a truly righteous life. I've never been to any family vacation for several years, but I'm sorry to praise her. But she never ceases to pray, even during the vacations. Every morning and evening, wherever she goes, she always prays. She's even better than me. I'm busy with playing with my workers. I play sports with them all night. Sometimes I skip, but she never misses any prayers. I think it's the same with one of the praise mission teams, they had a holiday. They had a leave. But just two of them came to pray. I checked everybody, whether they were at home or they were away. But they didn't come to the Daniel prayer meeting, even though they were at home. Just because they have a vacation, they have a leave. Maybe they prayed at home, but so from those things, you see the difference in the aroma of your heart in loving God. So the praise mission team, they must think about me watching them. But it's not, it's even worse to, you can't just give your heart to God. And if you cannot, you don't. Brothers and sisters, next, mercy refers to love and generosity. Love and generosity. You can keep the law in a way that is pleasing to God only when you have love and generosity in your heart. First, you must have love for God. For example, when you give tithes and other offerings, you can only give them with a sense of duty if you do not love God. Giving tithes will only become a burden to you. Or it can only become hypocrisy for you, as the Pharisees thought they were giving tithes and they were confident. True tithe will be given only when you give it with true love from your heart, while giving thanks to God for giving you income. This is how you can keep the law truly. Jesus lamented that the Pharisees and the scribes did not have such a love. In order to keep the law completely, you must also have love for the neighbors as well as for God. In John chapter 8, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman before Jesus accusing her. John chapter 8, verses 5 and 4 says, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" Of course, you have to keep the law of God, so he should have said, yes, you have to stone her to death. So it was a trap. It was the right thing to stone her according to the law of the Old Testament. Same in the New Testament. Actually, it's not a forgivable sin. It's a sin leading to death. But in their hearts, there was only the cunningness to test Jesus and receive the condemnation that condemned her. They did not have any trace of mercy or compassion of God towards sinners. So if you keep the law with this kind of heart, would God be pleased with you? So what did the Lord do? This woman met the Lord, finally. If Jesus said, oh, you cannot stone her to death, it is violation of the word of God, of the law. But in her case, it was a little different because she didn't really know whether it was sin leading to death. She met the Lord only now. So there is a, if she really repents and turns back, turns away, she could be forgiven. So Jesus said, never again commit adultery. Never again commit sins, or she won't be saved. And sin no more. Until then, she didn't really know the truth. But now you met with the true Savior, and never sin no more. He wouldn't just unconditionally forgive her. If you crucify the Lord all over again, or if you willfully commit sins, there are distinctions made by the Bible. If you did not know the Lord, or if you do not know the truth, and if while you are a new believer, if you commit sins leading to death. It's not that the Bible doesn't say it's a sin leading to death. You can just repent and turn away. But if you know it is sin leading to death, and if you still commit that sin, it is to crucify the Lord all over again. And because you willfully commit sins, you cannot receive the salvation. This is the word of God, so this is absolute truth. There is no excuse. So without mercy and compassion, if you keep the law, God wouldn't be pleased with you. When the believers with weak faith commit sins in your mission groups or parishes, what kind of attitudes do you have towards them? I don't believe that you'd complain saying, why do they commit sins and give a hard time to our mission group and parish? I hope they will go to another parish. I believe you wanted them to repent and turn away from the sin and go to New Jerusalem together. God wants to save just one more soul. If you have any trace of this love of God, you'd have mercy on those souls too. James chapter 2 verse 13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. According to the law, sinners must be put to death. But our God forgave us of our sins by sacrificing His one and only Son, Jesus. He showed to us love that goes beyond justice. If we completely cultivate mercy in our hearts, we will keep the law of God and we will only show goodness to our neighbors. It's because we love our neighbors. If you think like I'm a relatively good worker with good faith, living by the word of God, then I want you to think about yourself once again. Do you really love your neighbors? In Luke chapter 10, we find the parable that Jesus gave talking about true neighbors. A man was robbed and he was thrown out on the road almost dead. Some priests and Levites saw him, but they just avoided him, not to mention helping him. But a Samaritan had pity on him and took care of him with his own money and time. Jesus asked which one of these people was a true neighbor of the man who was robbed. The priests and Levites knew the commandments very well. But Samaritans were considered to be sinners, and the Jews did not even talk to them, for their blood was mixed with the Gentiles. But in the sight of God, who God think kept the law and was the true neighbor of the man who was robbed? Obviously, it is the Samaritan. I hope all of you will feel love in your heart, just like this good Samaritan. I pray in the name of the Lord that when you keep the commandments, your love will be delivered to God and to your neighbors. About faithfulness, I will speak about faithfulness in the evening service. I didn't talk about the sins depriving of salvation or sins leading to death for the Chuseok holidays, but you must never bow down before idols. If you do that, you are selling all your faith, you are offering all your faith, all your deeds of faith to the enemy devil. You are offering them to the devil, all your faithfulness to God, where all the rewards, where would all of them go away? If you worship idols, all these things go away. If you commit sins leading to death, all these things go away because it's a great betrayal. Your rewards will not remain. Everything will disappear. there was a person with the faith of at that time, because she was faithful. She could even go to New Jerusalem. Her house was being built. The foundation was being laid in New Jerusalem. But soon, it was destroyed. Completely gone. And she betrayed. With her faith at that time, with her faithfulness at that time, she went into spirit, she could have gone into New Jerusalem. But because she betrayed God, her house was destroyed and it was completely gone. So all these sins leading to death, betrayal, and idolatry, all these things are such great sins before God. Let us pray thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord, thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become faith and life. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick, lay your hands on sick parts. Heavenly Father, lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Lyudmila Isotova from Ukraine, Father, give her blessing of conception and let her be able to keep her weight. Stasia Weaver from the United States, let her get a good job. Missionary Jung-ho Kim, fill her with the strength in the conference on September 12th. The Manmin Church, let them get the permission of the church. Wang Yiwa, speech disorder, and his mother, Wee Jurong, rhinitis, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Li Weirin Fan Koi Wang, let their son and daughter be healed of mental disorder. And Li Mengen, the bent spine and obesity, be healed. Liu Su Chun, right leg fracture, be healed. Huang Yao Su, sources of the liver, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Chou Wen Chin, Fan De Fang, bless them. Father, from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Give them spiritual and physical health. Light, come. Bless them with health, physically and spiritually. Let the eyes see well, let ears hear well, and make all the internal organs healthy. Light, come. All cancers, third stage, last stage, cancers, lung diseases, be healed. Diabetes, high blood pressure, go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, go away. All kinds of diseases, germs, go away. Be cleansed. Father, thank you. All the fractured bones, all broken, and all tendons and all kinds of things, be make them perfect and healthy. Father, protect them throughout this week and let them have safe journeys on their way to and from their hometowns. And let there be nobody who is bowing down before idols. And when they preach the gospel, let their family members open their hearts and let their families be evangelized. And when they preach to the unbelieving family members, let them open their hearts and let them accept the gospel. And let there be no persecutions against not bowing down before idols, and protect them with the heavenly host and angels and with your aurora lights. Father, give them prosperity in their journeys to hometowns. And Father, give them peace throughout this week. Protect all church vehicles and church members' vehicles. And Father, let them make no mistakes while driving. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.